Thank you all. Our scripture lesson this morning is Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have arisen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If we were to take a poll of the congregation this morning asking, what is the opposite of faith? I imagine a lot of us would instinctively say doubt. The psalmist, however, would say that fear is the opposite of faith. The psalmist declares, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" One Bible commentator on this passage has made this assertion. Our era has been called the age of anxiety, which makes the psalmist's example of faith all the more important. The psalmist is an example of one who has anchored his life entirely in Yahweh. How difficult this is in our secular world. The real measure of difficulty is not outright doubt, but the pervasive anxiety that characterizes contemporary existence. This anxiety is often interpreted as a failure of nerve, but Psalm 27 suggests that it is a failure to trust. Left to depend on ourselves instead of God, we fail to experience joy in life in all its fullness. End quote. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that all of us are either afraid of something or we face issues and circumstances with the potential to cast us into fear, into anxiety. And the truth is, the circumstances or the issues are very real. They have the potential of having major impacts upon our lives. No amount of positive spin or positive thinking is going to change it. When we face such circumstances, How do we avoid being afraid? Well, notice the psalm we just read, just a few passages from it. Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 3, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. Verses 11 and 12, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. From the tone of verses 3, 11, and 12, it does not sound like the confidence of verse 1 comes from a lack of opportunity to be afraid. The psalmist describes situations of either being attacked or under the threat of attack from several fronts. The psalmist proclaims an unshakable faith or an unshakable confidence in the midst of either attacks or the looming threat. From the wording of verses 1 through 6, it's not 100% clear if the author is referring to a specific situation, or if the author is speaking metaphorically, or if the author is talking to potential threats. But the bottom line is, the psalmist acknowledges that though one follows the Lord and attempts to lead a faithful life, difficulties come. Difficulties happen. And many of those difficulties have the potential for devastating consequences. When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, though an army encamp against me, though war rise up against me, the psalmist was no stranger to difficulty. But the author includes these situations, declaring in more words their faith, their trust, their confidence in God. The psalmist expresses that even when potentially devastating circumstances confront them, they will not be afraid because of their confidence in the power and faithfulness of God. The psalmist's confidence in the midst of difficulties comes from being in the presence of God, assured that God is with them. The psalmist proclaims, "One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock." And then in verse 8, the psalmist says, "Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek." For the psalmist, the temple symbolized the presence of God. Now, though even in the Old Testament it was known that God was not confined to it, the temple was the physical, visible reminder of God's presence. And in the temple, the psalmist sought and experienced a sense of the presence of God, instilling a confidence of overcoming the difficulties they faced. Such is a major reason we are drawn to worship. When we enter worship, when we enter this room, our call is to offer God praise. Our call is to offer God love and to offer adoration in the best way we know how. In reality, worship is not about us. Worship is about God. Yet as God is so prone to do, when we truly worship God, God turns around and blesses us. When we worship, when we truly worship, we perceive a sense of God's presence. And I want to be clear this morning, that does not look the same for every single person. There is no such thing as a cookie cutter way of experiencing God's presence. It is unique to the individual. Now, we don't have this in our church, but in some churches, when somebody feels the presence of God, they've got to stand up and they've got to raise their hands. And somebody who's used to totally traditional worship kind of looks, okay. And the person raising their hands is looking down at the one sitting down. The Holy Spirit hadn't come upon you yet? It don't look the same for everybody. The experience of the Holy Spirit coming upon us is not, what's the word I'm looking for? You don't show it in the same way. It's not a cookie cutter thing. But the point is, though, that regardless of how we express it, when we worship God with our heart, our soul, our mind, we experience the presence of God. And when we sense the presence of God, we do gain confidence that even though the difficulties that await us when we go outside of these doors are very real, and they may loom very large, as we experience the presence of God, we realize that those things that loom large and are very real are not insurmountable. They will not defeat us. We will not become disheartened. We have this strength and this confidence, not because we refuse to face the realities of life. We have this confidence because we sense the presence of the God of all creation. And when we do, we are reminded of Paul's words of assurance in Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who... And I think I'm being faithful to the scripture if I say, or what can be against us? Now, have there been those times when you worshiped and you knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that you have experienced the presence of God in a powerful way? You sang the closing hymn and you walked out the center aisle, man. You were ready to conquer the world. You were ready to overcome any attack of the enemy. It was not an emotional high. You had experienced the genuine presence of God. And about as soon as you exited the building, life got back in your face. And when life got back in your face, it felt like God had stayed in the building. I'll admit that I have, and more than once. In my heart, in my mind, in my soul, I know that God didn't go anywhere. But in my emotions, I want to feel God's presence. May I remind you that we celebrated Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a month ago yesterday. And you remember one of the titles attributed to Jesus? Emmanuel. God is with us. I encourage us all, particularly in those times when life really gets in our face, that we cling to the title Emmanuel. For there are times when God, though present, is not felt. There are times when the onslaught of difficulties and struggle come at such a rapid rate, all we can see is the tsunami of the attack, and we don't see God. There are times when the struggles seem like they will never end, and sadly, this side of life, sometimes they do not. And in such times, it's hard to sense the presence of God. There are times when grief is so raw, the pain of loss blocks our ability to see God. But let me remind you of something. You already know it, but let me remind you of it. Just because we cannot see or feel God does not mean that God does not see us. Now, I don't know how many in this room have cats, but one thing that tickles me about my cats, their whole body will be under the bed and their tail sticking out. And they don't think I see them. But I do. Just because I cannot see God does not mean that God does not see me. God is not absent. My emotions may not feel God in one moment or another, but God is not absent. God is always with us through the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus promised to his disciples as he was preparing them for their new relationship with him, as he was about to die, be resurrected, return to heaven. He said in John 14:25-27, I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not let them be afraid. Life has its difficulties. Life has its struggles. And those difficulties and struggles can be scary. But we can be confident and live in the midst of the attacks without fear. Because as the psalmist knew, God was always present. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit is always here. So this morning, I don't know what you're facing, but I do know this. Whatever it is, none of us need be afraid. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you that indeed you are always with us. Thank you for the confidence that was penned by the psalmist, that they were real in their experiences of attack. They were real in their sense that life is sometimes hard. But yet, though life is sometimes hard and life has its attacks, the psalmist reminded us that God is bigger than anything we face. God never leaves us. Therefore, because the power of God is always with us, we do not have to fear. Indeed, the psalmist will tell us we should not fear. And then, Lord, through your Holy Spirit that you sent upon Jesus ascending to heaven, we thank you that you are present with us right now. So, Lord, whatever any of us may be facing in this room this morning, though it is real, though it may be scary, let us not fear. But let us face the realities of life in the confidence, in the power of the God of all creation. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.